This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. A little over a year and a half ago, Simone Tani, a theatre practitioner, clown, actor, trainer, and mask maker, was in the city to run a week-long workshop for local actors. And the course was titled Trans Masks. I was one of the participants last year. He will be back in KL next week, but with more. This time around, he will not only be training actors how to perform with masks, but how to create these masks. Welcome.
Hi. Hi, it's nice to be back.
Since your trip to Kuala Lumpur back in June 2015, have you been performing with masks yourself?
Yes. My focus in the last 2 years has been setting up my theatre company and performing mainly with clown and buffoon. But I had a few times where I could work with mask shows, and one in particular that I remember is at the beginning of 2016 with a few friends and fellow performers from UK, Netherlands and Finland. We performed at the Amsterdam Improv Festival, and it was an exciting project because we had a week to come up with a show. What we had were our masks, and by saying that, I just don't mean the physical objects, but the characters that we have developed throughout the years with those masks. And we went in a room for a few days just with that. And so we start playing with the mask and putting different characters together and see what happened. And the result that we showed during the festival was a totally improvised show with masks that in a way went so unexpectedly that the mask just jumped in the middle of the audience and start to play with the technicians, and a few actors had to come into the audience and take the mask back on the stage. Yeah, and it was, for the audience, it was something very unexpected, and they really enjoyed.
Were you performing mostly for children or for adults?
No, it was all adults. But the behavior of the masks, it was pretty much like children in a playground, but still committing to the show, but with that energy that everything is possible, including just go and play with the audience. Why not?
What you are suggesting to me is that the masks have a life of their own.
Yeah. That's what we play with when we play with masks, is the fact that the mask has its own personality, and the job of the actor is most of the time to not interfere with it, and sometimes use their craft to tear the mask in some direction and then let the mask do whatever the mask wants and sit back in a way.
This time in KL, you'll be teaching your workshop participants how to make masks. You know, when there's already so much information online with YouTube videos available, how would a live workshop experience be different?
Yeah, in a live workshop, what is possible is to take time and take risks. That's a very important thing when you make a mask, because to just make a mask knowing the technique, how to use the material, it's something that is quite accessible. But because we are trying to make some objects as a function, either an artistic function because you just see the feature, or in what I'm interested more, is an object that you then use in performance or during training, and it's supposed to give you something, then it's very important when you make the masks that you have a process that allow you to take risks and see what happens. To go online and YouTube and see how to make a mask is definitely possible, but probably the result that you have is a mask that is pretty much the same of the mask that you have seen making by someone else. Why? The idea of the workshop is to facilitate so that the participant will learn how to make their own masks, improvising and finding features by themselves.
In making a mask, it's not just knowing the technique or how to use the paper or where to put the eyes properly. It's more about understanding how the mask will work with the performer.
Yes, that's definitely a point. And sometimes it stretches to the point of rather than understanding before how that mask will behave when wear by a performer, is about having the freedom to try new ways to make a mask that can then give something to the performer. We have so many examples in the tradition of masks that works well. We can see the mask in Bali or the mask from the Commedia dell'arte. And so we could just replicate that, and that would be one step. But here, especially in a live workshop, what is more exciting, try to use that knowledge to find masks that have never seen before, but that can still work as powerful as the mask of the tradition.
I want to pick up on that, because in the earlier interview that I did with you back in 2015, you mentioned that after you've created a mask and tried it on, you can still correct it. And you use the word correct as if it has a meaning that's beyond, again, here, the technical correction, it seems to me. So to what extent is the correction then specific to bringing out the personality?
Yeah, when you wear a mask, if it is a half mask, most of the time, as the actor, you already see how it is working for you after you play with it for a while. With other kind of mask, the full face, and use different technique of performing, you cannot really see the effect of the mask, but someone from the outside can see it very clearly. The idea is that a mask is an alive tool. So after you make a mask, the mask may look as beautiful as you want, but until you try it, you never know if it is working well or not. Or let's say if it is working at a big level, or it's just, yeah, kind of working, but not doing much. The good thing is that unless you made a very flat mask that has basically no features, you can always make changes to the mask, especially with color. You can add shadows and can make always little changes and try to bring that mask more alive than it is.
You are also again suggesting to me that a mask can grow over time.
Yes, and especially if we put the performer in the equation, it is a process of discovery for both of them, for the mask and for the performer. Normally, how I work, I've been taught, is that you start with a very primordial character, and then you discover what this character is. Pretty much as having a baby and see the baby learning day after day new things, developing its own character.
The more I listen to you, the more it becomes obvious to me that learning to make a mask by watching videos and reading instructions may only help you create something technically workable. But as a performer, you really want to be in the whole process of both playing with the mask, experimenting with the mask, and as you develop a mask.
Yeah, especially because experimenting most of the time means to have the freedom to make mistakes. And if you have the freedom to make mistakes, and you know that those mistakes can be corrected, or in a worst case scenario, you can just put that mask apart and start a new project, gives you the possibility to discover much more things.
What often are the mistakes or problems people run up against in the course of making a mask?
One common mistake is to make a very flat mask that doesn't have many features and that means on one side that it's very hard to perform with that mask, because we have to think, first of all, that in a theater and from distance, you need to see big features. And also as a performer, the features are, so by the feature, I mean like a big nose or a nose in a
distorted
particular shape, or the form of the shape of the cheeks, anything that can change in the face that can be made a little bit more grotesque. One of the common mistakes is to basically have a mask with almost no features. And that is done because it is less risky. We have the tendency, fortunately, to be very conservative when we make things, especially when we start making things. We tend to do very plain things, while with mask, you really want to be bold and have the luxury to take risk and make mistakes. And those mistakes, most of the time, create something amazing.
In this workshop, what kinds of materials will you be using to make this mask? Most of us use paper mache. What would you be using?
Yeah, we will, during the workshop, we will use mainly papier mache, because it's, as a first technique to learn how to make masks, is give you the possibility of a long process that make you understand how to work on the features. With the technique to make papier mache masks, then it's quite easy to plug other materials. After you make a mold of the mask with clay, normally the next step is you start to apply papier-mâché on that mold. And then you can use different materials after you learn how to make with papier-mâché, applying on the mold different materials. So you can experiment with like aquaplast or other kind of materials. The papier-mâché is a good starting point.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Simone Tani, mask maker, theatre practitioner and facilitator. His workshops on mask making and performing with mask will take place next week, starting on Wednesday, January 11th, and runs through the weekend till Sunday, January 15th. If you want more details, call or text 012-653-0987. 012-653-0987. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.